Dear Lord, we ask you to help us now to meditate on the mystery of your call to discipleship and our response of joy, that we might always follow you and trust in your presence, in your grace, in your love, such that this joy becomes our gift to others, that leads them to you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, I promised we'd look at Peter. So we're going to do a real quick review of Peter. Luke 5, we find St. Peter washing his nets, right? And he's washing the net because he's been out all night. He's caught nothing. He is a typical Catholic who is empty. He is not a disciple of anybody except for himself. So what Jesus does is he steps into the middle of Peter's boat. And when he steps into the middle of Peter's boat, everything changes. Now Jesus becomes his point of reference. Now suddenly Simon Peter is not obeying himself, but he has the opportunity to follow someone else. And Jesus speaks to him. It looks like Jesus is speaking to the crowds on shore, but actually, as far as Peter's concerned, Jesus is speaking to him, to his heart. And something changes in Peter once he listens. And as he listens, he learns. And when they get back to shore after he listened and followed Jesus in that first, you might say, second act of obedience. The first was to push out a little from shore. The second was to throw out the nets, which was a risky thing to do since he'd been fishing all night unsuccessfully. He threw out the nets and got that tremendous catch. Remember that great catch of fish. And they came on their way back to shore. Simon Peter fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. I'm not worthy." And Jesus looked at him and says, "Don't worry, I'm going to make you a fisher of men." In other words, continue to follow me and I will continue to teach you. And it won't anymore be about your unworthiness. I will make you worthy. I will make you capable of catching men as I just made you capable of catching all these fish, which is something you've never done before, Simon Peter, despite all of your practice. So, that's a first point of meditation. I'm going to give you these points and you go home and do your own meditation at some point. All right, so that's the first point. The encounter leads to beginning. From that point on, Peter left everything and followed Jesus. He became a disciple. So really his learning had just begun. Second point. Peter, we know, has a lot of ups and downs. You know, he has that time when he has a great profession of faith and he says, you know, who do you say I am? And Peter replies, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Yes, no human has taught you this, Peter. My Father in heaven." So Peter's doing a good job listening. And then a few minutes later, he says, "Lord, no, this thing about the death and passion and death and all this, no." And Jesus calls him Satan. "Behind me, Satan." So Peter clearly is having ups and downs throughout. This just represents our lives. And we know that at the end of his life, or at the end of our Lord's life, when our Lord died, Peter had those three denials. Okay, so the second point brings us to, in some sense, the renewed following of Jesus. So we have to renew our following Jesus constantly. So where does Peter renew that following Jesus? If you go to chapter 21 of St. John's Gospel, you find the passage. It's very interesting because it parallels Luke 5. It's a story of them fishing. And at the end of their fishing, what happens? They find somebody on shore, says, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught anything. He says, throw the net over on the other side. They do it. They have this great catch of it. And suddenly, the beloved disciple says, it is the Lord. Now, what's interesting here is simply at hearing it is the Lord, Peter grabs his robes and jumps into the water. All right. Some people wonder whether Peter knew how to swim. He must have. He must have. He may not have been a good swimmer. But the fact that he just jumped in the water at simply the suggestion that that was Jesus tells you what about Peter? That his desire to follow Peter had grown. I'm sorry, his desire to follow Jesus had grown. How did it grow? What was the big event in his life? It grew through that experience of defeat, that experience of sin and denial. And he, in some way, must have experienced Jesus' forgiveness. Because according to, I believe it's in the Acts of the Apostles, where we have a reference to the fact that Peter was the first one to whom Jesus appeared. Now, that's according to kind of a particular angle. We know that probably he appeared to his mother, and he appeared to Mary Magdalene before he appeared to Peter. All right. But again, this is not a race. We're not going to worry about who he appeared to first. But the fact was that Peter was one of the first that he appeared to. And this is very important because Peter is the leader, the head of the apostles. So it's very important for Jesus to help him experience his love and mercy because he's going to be the leader of love and mercy. So it's that experience of falling and getting up, of sinning and being forgiven, of failing and starting anew that is repeated throughout our lives. We're not to get discouraged. That's not the Christian way. So in this second point, I invite you to look at Peter and see in yourself the possibility and the as it were the capacity to begin every day, to renew your discipleship every day, despite your failures, your weaknesses, and your sins. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Now, the third point of meditation where this gets really interesting is where we go to the Acts of the Apostles, because here we're talking about what? Sharing the faith. Peter was behind locked doors for too long. Then after these apparitions, when our Lord shows them he's risen from the dead and he stands before them, he shows them his hands and his feet, he shows them the wound in his side, he sits down and eats with them. This is me. Touch me. See that I am not a ghost. It takes them a while to digest this resurrection experience. And then Jesus says, look, wait here for the Holy Spirit. And we know that as they prayed together and they opened their hearts, the Holy Spirit finally came. And when the Holy Spirit came, everything changed. So here we have men who have had more experiences of Jesus than we can imagine, who have witnessed everything from healings and cure to the raising of the dead, and then they see Jesus die and they see him rise again and appear to them. They are, as it were, the witnesses of immense miracles. And truly, their testimony is valuable. So how can they stay locked up in an upper room? The world depends on them, on those 12 men, and a small group of disciples that surrounds them in order to hear God's plan of salvation, in order to connect with the God-man. Connect with salvation. What did they need? They needed what the Holy Spirit gave them. They needed to pray, and they needed what the Holy Spirit gave them. What did He give them? What did He give them? Think about that in your own prayer. What did He give them that changed everything? He gave them a fire. What was that fire? I think that fire was His love. Because love is capable of anything. There's nothing that love can't overcome. So He set their hearts on fire. And that overcame all their fears. That love overcame all their fears. You might say maybe that they said, you know, he turned up their faith. I don't know. It's a mystery what the Holy Spirit gave them. But we know that the Holy Spirit came to them in the form of a flame, in some sense came into them. And they felt Jesus' presence within them. That's what changed. Before, they had walked with Jesus. And after that, they had talked with a risen Christ. But now he lives within them. And that's what makes us capable of sharing our faith with joy. Because all we have to do is let it flow. It's just like, just shake that pop can and just let it flow. It's just going to overflow by its own dynamism. You're going to have to do a lot of violence to yourself not to share your faith if the Holy Spirit is alive and well in you, if Jesus' love is burning within you. How do you find that? Prayer. Clearly, prayer is the key. How much time do you spend before the Blessed Sacrament? Exposed. He's exposed in this church. You can go there during the day. You can find a quiet moment. I think we need to constantly be lighting, relighting that, allowing God to relight that flame. This is not something we can do on our own. So that would be the third point, to look at Peter coming out of that upper room. What happens? Just listen to what he says. It's almost like, is that Peter? This is an uneducated man speaking with incredible wisdom. When they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the disciples, "Brethren, what shall we do?" He reached them. He shook their lives so profoundly that they said, "We have to do something. What do we need to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall be received the gift of the Holy Spirit." So you too receive this gift. And guess what's going to happen? He's going to flow through you into others. If you look at the way the faith spread during that first century, it's astounding. It went to the ends of the Roman Empire. That's not a small area. The Holy Spirit. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. How did the first disciples live? They devoted. They had a devotion. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay. The apostles' teaching, they continued to learn. They developed as disciples. And fellowship. They spent time around other Christians, other believers. They nourished each other with their friendship, with their example, with their words, with their actions, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They went to Mass together. They did adoration together. They prayed together. I think this has all the substance for us to become disciples. And clearly, the joy was overwhelming. There's one passage I want to refer you to before we finish, and you could use this as a fourth example. But there's a lot of stories back and forth. One of the stories, and actually, it's kind of a funny story, and it came up just the other day in the readings. Peter and John are arrested, remember? And they're brought before the Sanhedrin. And suddenly, they're waiting at night, remember? And then in the morning, you know, the chief priests and all, they send for bringing these two scoundrels. They're not there. Now they're under, this is heavily guarded prison, okay? There's no chance they could escape. So they're dumbfounded until somebody else runs in and says, they're back in the temple preaching again. He says, well, bring them in. And they had to bring them in without any sign of violence. For they didn't want to get stoned by the people. And they said, didn't we tell you? They're like, who do you want us to listen to, you or God? It's kind of like John and Peter looked at themselves and laughed and said, you want to put us in prison again? Which is almost, they weren't worried about the fact that they were brought again before the Sanhedrin. It's like God's power is at work in us. Can't you see that? You're gonna imprison us? You can't keep us from speaking. You can't keep us from speaking. So they, you know, did what they could and sent them off, and they joined the rest, and they all rejoiced. They all rejoiced together when they came back together with the Christian community. When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all men praise God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed, well, let's talk about the healing that was done. And it says it to be that a little farther on in this fourth chapter of Acts. And now, Lord, this is praying. This is when they came back, they're praying together. Okay. And I'll end with this. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness while thou stretchest out thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's what we have to do. Why can't we do that? If we do that, we are going to shake this town, shake the city. I mean, we could use an earthquake in New York. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit's kind of like waiting to burst forth. But you are his primary instrument. Let him fill you with joy, and he will do the rest. Be open to sharing. Be open to sharing. It's all here. It's all here. I think all the... Don't ask me how to do this. It's all here. I don't think they got together and said, hey, let's shake this place. No, they just started praying. Okay. Well, let's thank our Lord for this time we've had together. And pray for the courage. I think start with the joy. But also the courage to share what you have. And also the wisdom. The wisdom to recognize what you have. If you stop long enough in your busy lives to look at the precious gift of faith and love, how our Lord has blessed you, how he looks upon you, how he raises you above all the winds and waves of the world, then you will have that courage. Then you will know the Spirit's with you. Just need to give him permission to act. Lord, we ask you to make of us true disciples. That through our prayer together, through our relationship with you, through our awareness of your presence and all of your blessings, of your power and the infinite depths of your mercy, we will readily open our hearts and our mouths to share our gifts and allow you to work, allow you to reach hearts, allow you to renew the face of the earth. Shake our existence, Lord. Shake up our families. Shake up our communities. Shake up our parishes. Help us all to find in you hope and love and life. We ask this through the prayers of the Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. She taught the apostles to pray. May she teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.